Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook and Ryan Casey of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team for all of 2022 in transactions per the CTMLS. And we are here on this rainy Saturday bringing you some bank updates a little bit later in the show.
A lot going on.
We're going to have some fun kind of breaking that down for the 94 Niners and, you know, giving them both sides of the coin, so to speak. Right?
We're going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you want to see the ugly, just check us out online.
There you go. Check out our photos on the OneTeamCT.com website. Right, guy, you had to miss the show last week because you were out busy showing houses?
Yeah, no, I had an inspection.
An inspection, yeah.
Out in Stamford, which is a little bit, you know, near the, if you don't know, Connecticut map, a little closer to the city.
Fairfield County, right?
And then what did I do? I had to zip up to, it's a town east of Waterbury. Is it Prospect? No. Drawing a blank on the...
Prospect might be out that way. Prospect's either up that way or up 395. I'm not sure.
It was Walkett.
Close. Prospect, Walkett, you know.
I knew it was kind of like...
One the same.
Yeah. So, and it's busy and in a sense, but it's been kind of... We're kind of like in no man's land, I've been calling it. You know, you hear us a lot saying, hey, you know, it's there's a lot of buyers out there and it's kind of tough, which is it's still the case right now with listings. But a lot of my buyers are going quiet, let's say. And I don't think it's so much because they're tired of the market. I think there's not a lot of good quality of homes out right now on the market. I think sellers know they're going to be listing in about 2 weeks with April coming around, right?
Yeah, we talked about that last week on the show. Realtor.com, best week to list your home, April 16th through 22nd. And here, I had an epiphany, and I want to kind of bounce this off you because we had Tina join us and Greg join us last week. Do you think that they choose that week because that coincides with the majority of school spring break so that, like, you get out of your house so you don't have to leave it to go show it 20 times?
Yeah. No, I think it could be that, right, because if people are not around. I think it's kind of like March is kind of weird. I always feel like, you know, not so much this month, but up in New England, because this was more, for the whole entire country?
Yeah, national.
Yeah, I mean, March seems like it sometimes can be the worst month as far as winter goes. It wasn't this month, but I remember some Marches are pretty rough. Yeah, you got spring break. Maybe that gives people time. And then maybe just the warmer weather, too. April is probably the most consistent where the weather gets warmer.
Where the weather gets warmer, yeah.
And I guess that has something to do with it, right? Because, I mean, when you feel that sun, like it was a couple of days ago, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to clean the house. I opened up the windows. I think I got up to like 62. I was like, hey, I opened up the windows. I was outside. I cleaned my garage. Had like about 20 beers while doing it, right? Just to get through my week. And I think that's it. I think it's more, it's all mentality.
Yeah, all right. So you think that bug, like that coming out of winter.
And also,
bug.
That's when your photos look the best, is when everything is green, right?
Right, right.
So
I don't know about you, but out in my yard already, we have our daffodils are coming up and our crocus have already started to bloom.
Wow.
So.
Sorry, that time. Where's the time go?
Where's the time? Well, I mean, spring was on Monday. So
that's right. You don't realize I was like, as when I was on Twitter or something, like, oh, it's spring. I was like, what? When did that happen?
And yet here we are. We were on the verge of a potential snowstorm this weekend. I saw that they might be tracking another one next Wednesday, Thursday.
I'm kind of like, we've been having a lot of storms. You know, I like to watch I'm kind of spent on weather right now. It's like they show these models come out. Here it comes, blizzard, and then everything just kind of goes into rain. So I think it's kind of, we got to kind of move forward.
Yeah.
You know, and just
but what's your honest opinion? Do you think we're gonna get one more? Or
no,
you think it's all gonna be rain?
I think we can get pretty good storms. I think that up in northern New England for all the skiers out there are gonna have a couple, maybe one or two good ones, getting one last run before that's it. But I think down here in Connecticut, the hills can, it was so funny. I was in Goshen,
yeah, northwest corner.
I was in Goshen and I was like, I was showing someone a house up there. I was like, it was still like over a foot of snow. And then I had to head to, Portland.
Yeah.
So or Hagenham. Yeah, Portland. And I was like, you know, I was right across and there was nothing, not a trace. So
it's funny because the river does that a lot. I used to work in Glastonbury and I could be up in Glastonbury at work and it could be snowing 3-4 inches. And all of a sudden you cross those traffic lights in Middletown and it turns to rain.
Yeah. And that's been the story of this whole entire, just, we just haven't had that cold air. When we get the cold air, we don't have the precipitation. But we'll see. But I'm kind of like over it. I was kind of glad, you know, I do like snow. What I don't like when it's in real estate is when a lot of people don't shovel their driveways well.
Right.
Or they don't do sidewalks. And there's been a couple times I'm like, please do not fall. Well, maybe you get the house for free, right? Because then you got a nice lawsuit.
I have fallen. I haven't had a client fall, but I have fallen.
Yeah.
traipsing through trying to, actually, you know what I was doing? They didn't shovel the front walkway. That's where the lockbox was. I was like, you guys stay here. I'll go open the door, kick my shoes off, come out through the garage and open the garage so you can come in that way. And there was maybe like 2 inches of snow, but underneath that snow was a sheet of ice.
A sheet of ice.
And I definitely went down, and it was not one of my most flattering moments. Yeah. I would say that for sure.
So we're looking forward to the spring market. We're hoping.
You know who else is looking forward to spring?
Who?
Martin McKinney and the boys and girls at Service Station Equipment, because that Irish Springs pool water is ready to go. They want it to be hot. They want the weather to kick up so that people will start opening those pools and they will start getting those calls for that secret reserve, that Irish Spring pool water. And if you have a pool and you're thinking about getting it ready to open, you can reach out to them at 860-848-4100. Or if you have an oil tank that is looking a little shabby, or you're just thinking about getting rid of oil and converting to a mini split or gas or something like that, they can help you remove them. Or if you have one underground and you're getting ready to sell, give them a call, 1-800-801-TANK. Ask for Doug, Dougie Fresh, as we like to call him, the Tank Man at Service Station Equipment. And that, again, that is 1-800-801-TANK. So now we talked about the weather here for the first, you know, segment here, but what are we going to be really getting into when we come back here in just a couple of minutes? How the Deutsche Bank is the latest hot button.
The Deutsche
ticket item right now, I guess I would
say. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll just say Guten Morgen to all my friends out there, but we are going to talk about how you hear one thing, but you see another stuff happening, and it's tough to, you know what? Here, let me tell you something really quick before we go to break. I'm nowhere the smartest person in the world. I'm actually not very intelligent when there are things going on like this. I like to be talked to like a child, because you have all these stuff. And I mean, when people try to use big words and they're like, oh, what's just here? People, no, those people don't know what's going on as much, right? They just want to sound smart. They want to look good in front of people. I'll be the first to tell you, I am nowhere close to the smartest person in the room. So I'm going to explain to you what's going on. Like, as if I was talking, like a child.
Big words that I always kind of call him out on when he's on the show. He's been in hiding. I think it has something to do with the stock market. But Pat Kenny, he throws like these like random words out. I think he's got one of those like word of the day calendars where he just wants to like hit us with it and see if we have any recollection of what he actually is talking about.
No.
He did say to me yesterday on Friday that we might have a Pat Kenny appearance at some point during the show here. I said, the listeners are asking for you, man, because they want to know what's good. What are you hearing in the stock market? What are you seeing with the banks from your perspective? And have you actually been in hiding these last couple of weeks?
Is there a reason
you don't
want to
come on and actually talk?
You're not telling us, Pat.
Yeah, so we are hoping we can get him on here for the second half of the show so he can tell us his opinion on the Deutsche Bank. And obviously, we're going to hear Ryan's very educated, but not antiquated opinion.
Yes. Ooh, look at that.
Antiquated. Look at that. I'm pulling out the word of the day right now. So we're going to break all that down for you when we come back on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook, Ryan Casey of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, back here for segment number two. And we are going to break down in terms that everyone can understand. We're going to pull through all of like the big words that they use just to make themselves sound important. And we're going to talk to you about what is going on from what we can see in the banking world, and in particular, the Deutsche Bank, which has been having some turmoil here the last 3-4 days. Basically through the better part of last week since we are here on Saturday. So Ryan, what are you seeing with this? I know you've been following it pretty closely. Kind of what's the vibe out there?
Yeah, I have been, because it all started when...
With a big bang?
With the big bang. But it all started when that you would hear the feds come out, right? Powell will come out, he'll say some words, and he wouldn't be as hawkish as many people thought. So what happened every time that the feds would come up and raise the rates, the stock market would increase. And I said, that's kind of strange. You know, why is it like, you know, if you're raising rates, that's not good for banks, for investors and all that stuff. So
For us, the 94.9ers out there, I mean, our credit card interest rates, our mortgage interest rates are
I just had the feeling that, you
crazy.
Know, the market would just hear, hey, we're doing better with inflation, let's buy. And then, you know, and it's been happening like that every time they come out, right? It's good for a couple of days, and then they're like, wait a minute, they actually find maybe this thing isn't over. So then you have the Fed's coming out saying that the banks are safe and they're secure. All right, we are on our third week where some type of bank has failed, right? You know, you had Silicon Valley Bank with them, which was more of a liquidity problem. So I guess I want to kind of say really quick that this
let's break down that liquidity problem, because we were talking about it before the show started. So just so that everyone is kind of clear on that, the liquidity problem was not that they didn't have the money. It's that they invested the money into an asset that wasn't readily accessible.
Wasn't accessible, but it was also not doing well as far as the rates. So what people do is that what banks do is when they loan a lot of money, when Silicon Valley was mostly tech startup companies, right? So it's not your typical, you know, place that you go for a bank. And the rates went up. So did the bonds that they took out. So what happens is to make sure that they have enough equity or make sure that everything is safe to play stuff, you take out bonds. But these bonds were bought at low rates, and the rates have been increasing. So a lot of times what they do is they try to work with these bonds in order to make sure everything is status quo. However, that is a little bit of a red flag, right? And what they did was that people rushed to these banks, started pulling their money out because they thought this bank was going to collapse. Now, was it going to collapse? Was it not going to collapse? Yeah, it's tough to tell. It's tough to tell when it doesn't happen. But when people start getting nervous and they pull all their money out, which is the liquidity, then the bank doesn't have any money. So that money, like you're saying, Chaz, that money wasn't readily available to them. So people were taking out, trying to get all their money out. And when the well is dry and more people haven't got all their money yet, because you're talking about millions, billions of dollars.
Well, I think that's important to note is that Silicon Valley Bank in particular wasn't just like a local Essex Savings Bank, a Liberty Bank.
Right.
This was a bank for startup companies, and we're talking Meta,
yeah,
Amazon,
huge.
Apple. I mean, big startup companies with quite a bit of money in them. So when they get nervous and then come calling for their money, it's much different than if you or I went to our local bank and we said, I don't know, you charged me a couple fees here that I'm not happy with. Let me, you know, pull out my money.
It's right.
A different conversation.
And just to kind of like to go over everything, you know, like keep in mind, this is not like 07, 08. 07, 06, 08. Banks invested in bad mortgages and did not know what they were getting in these tranches.
Right.
All right. This is totally different. I think what happens
this is not related directly to the housing market.
Nothing directly to the housing market. You know what it has directly? It's greed. So if I'm able to, let's say I buy a new house. All right. And I know, like, my wife and I, we just built a house a few years ago. Well, I can't go nuts and start buying, you know, on my credit card and buying new TVs and buying a new couch and buying this and buying this and this, because you do. You spend. Yeah. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to pay that money back. And then all of a sudden, interest rates go up, and I'm like, I'm having trouble paying this back. And I'm imagine I'm the bank. I gotta find ways to get this money.
Yep.
But so that's basically what happened. It was a liquidity problem. It had nothing to do with mortgages. Now you have the Fed saying everything's safe, everything's secure. But here we go again with there was another bank last week.
Well, it's funny because the CNBC article, I pulled this one up, that Janet Yellen, it's kind of been a tale of two different conversations with her. Because
she's changing her tone.
Right, right. So that's the strong actions we have taken ensure that Americans' deposits are safe. Certainly, we would be prepared to take additional actions if warranted, said Yellen. The statement conveyed a different message than Yellen's remarks a day earlier when she told senators that the Treasury was not considering any plans to insure all U.S. bank deposits without congregational approval. So, kind of different. One day she's saying we are prepared, and the other day she's saying we have no plan of action. So in 24 hours, even her, you know,
she's
mindset
trying to.
Is kind of
she's trying. I mean, with the Yellen at this point, she's just trying to please the people that she feels like she needs to please. Right. That's why she's always singing a different tune. She just kind of wants to go with the flow. She's not going to actually have a backbone to say what's going on.
But what message does that send to our 94.9ers out there, to the rest of the people in the country who are looking for some guidance,
or some security, like? Which is fine. I mean, she can say a statement and say this is it. But what's happening now with Deutsche Bank, this is 3 weeks in a row now that you have a bank that's having issues. But the biggest difference, Chaz, with this bank is that people are used credit default swaps on this bank. Right. So the other banks, it was just maybe a liquidity problem. They didn't have enough money. These are people and they're smart people. You don't pull this move. I mean, the last time people pulled this move was in 08 when the mortgage crisis was happening, and they knew what was in these stocks, that what these banks had in these tranches, all these bundles of mortgages, was dog poop mortgages. No credit. Mm-hmm. They're not checking multiple homes, arms that were going to completely collapse. So when you hear credit default swaps, those are people saying, I'm going to bet against it. I did a great, I think it was a great analogy a few minutes ago when we were downstairs. Chaz is a runner, right? So if Chaz tells the whole office that he's going to run a marathon and he's going to do it at this time, and people know that Chaz is a good runner and this and that, a lot of people are not going to bet against Chaz. But if I kind of know something, if I'm looking at the numbers and I say, you know what, Chaz?
He's going to be waiting at mile 25 to trip me.
If I know like Chaz hasn't been running as much as he has, or he hasn't been putting the work or whatever, I'm like, you know what, this is me going to bet against it. And that's called a credit default swap. I'm going to bet that this bank doesn't actually know what they're talking about, what they're doing. So that's a little bit more nerve wracking. It's one thing when you have a little blip and you don't have the money because there's something off, but it's a different story when now you have people betting against the bank.
And that's also causing a ripple effect throughout the entire banking industry, right? Because shares of major U.S. banks were under pressure, right? Citigroup and Bank of America shares fell more than 2%. J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo fell more than 1% each. So the Silicon, this is another CNBC article on the Deutsche Bank. The article goes on to say the Silicon Valley bank problem brought more attention on banks. Larry McDonald, this is a quote from Larry McDonald, founder of the Bear Traps Report, said Friday on CNBC's Squawk Box. And so banks like Credit Suisse and Deutsche Bank that have been horribly, horribly managed for decades, and we're talking about really poor management and horrible decisions, mm-hmm. all of a sudden investors around the planet are focused on that.
Yeah. So what happened was, and you know, you got to give credit when credit's due. After we had the collapse in 08, the U.S. really kind of had a come into Jesus moment where we're like, we got to fix this. I always read that Europe was never really the exact same. It's almost like, right. I'm not saying they didn't learn their lesson, but they didn't do enough, I think, to protect themselves.
Well, they kept government out of it.
They kept the government out.
Right.
Which is, you do, sometimes you want to, I always get nervous, you know, like mm-hmm. when government gets involved too much, because there's so much now, you have so much, depending on what side you're on, you know, there's so much to sway it one way. But yeah, so now you're looking at the European markets, and you're like, okay, well, how's this affect? I'm like, well, you know, it sure does affect. It's a global market, right? We're all kind of like in this together. So when you have, and then after this whole Deutsche Bank, you know, if you love them, hate them, you have Jim Cramer coming on. I don't know if you ever see the Jim Cramer memes. They show stuff that he said like months ago, and then it's the complete opposite, right? So anytime he says it, they call it the death wish. But he said, hey, you know, he said, like, he goes, look, he said that Deutsche Bank is not like Silicon Valley. This is a strong, secure bank. Which, yeah, they're a lot bigger. It's like, you know, yeah. I get it, and they're powerful, and they have a lot more equity, but that doesn't mean... That doesn't mean much. You know what I mean? Like if people are betting against it, you got to feel like they.
It all comes back to what we were talking about before. You can have the most money, right? Yeah. You can have the most power. But yeah. If you don't have access to it, if you're not able to use it in a functional way, it doesn't matter how big, how strong, how smart you are, so to speak. Because at the end of the day, people want their money and you don't have it available for them. Yeah. So that's going to create some turmoil. I'm just a little surprised. You know, how this is kind of trickling out throughout the other banks, right? Because, again, SVB was a very specific type of bank. Yeah. They worked with a very specific type of clientele.
Mm-hmm.
So how – and maybe we'd have to get somebody else on the show. We can find a guest to come on and kind of talk to us about that a little bit more. But how can a bank that has such a niche market,
mm-hmm. Oh, sure, it's niche.
Niche. Market be the pebble that creates the avalanche?
Right. Well, because what's thought to happen is you have always fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fear, and it's a domino effect, right? Like you have to start to see. So, for instance, if there's other investments, like someone's got to. So, luckily, I'm knocking on wood. If you heard that, luckily someone's able to come and save Silicon Valley Bank. Like someone came in, bought them out. They were able to. The government would bail them out. They don't like to call it a bailout, but I mean it was a bailout.
Right.
If this keeps happening over and over and over again, people are going to start losing their monies.
Absolutely.
So if you have money, like, in, you know, you'd be like, I don't have any money in Germany. Well, a lot of companies in the U.S. have interests, you know, sort of thing. So
there's definitely a strong ties to the European. I mean, so many of our resources come from there.
Yep. And then, you know, if banks have money and you can't trade with that bank anymore, right? You're not doing any swaps with them. It's a trickle effect. And when money's gone and you can't get it back. And then you can get into the bank, blanket insurance they want to talk about in the next segment, because that's a little bit,
we'll have some fun with that blanket insurance. Yeah. But just one more quick point on this, Moody's Investor Service, they warned that the banking contagion could continue to spread. They went on to say, in uncertain economic environments and with investor confidence remaining fragile, there is a risk that policymakers will be unable to curtail the current turmoil without longer lasting and potentially severe repercussions within and beyond the banking sector. That is from Atis Sheath, Managing Director of Credit Strategy, and others said in a report. The longer that financial conditions remain tight, the greater the risk that stresses spread beyond the banking sector. That's the scary part, is that what we're seeing in the banking sector could just be that pebble that I mentioned before that will turn into the avalanche that could spiral into the entire economy, or it could even start to make its way into the real estate market, because we do have two different economies. We talked about that. The U.S. economy and the real estate market are two separate entities here, and a lot of times these banks or a lot of these news sites, they'll try and put them together as one and the same, where they're absolutely not, because SVB Bank, startups, Deutsche Bank, probably not doing a lot of mortgages.
Right. And I'll tell you how it's going to affect the whole market. We'll probably do that in the third or the fourth segment, how it's going to affect and what it means for you buying or selling.
All right. So more insight from Mr. Ryan Casey when we come back on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Right now, Connecticut lawmakers are debating a method.
We are back on Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook and Ryan Casey of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And we are breaking down from what we can see and what we can understand out of all these different reports, because there's a lot of different conversations going on about how the SVB collapse has kind of trickled into affecting some of the other big banks and also some of the European banks, Deutsche Bank in particular. And now we're going to dive into how can that spill over into the current real estate market, where we've seen a lot of turmoil in terms of these interest rates. Obviously, that's affected by the banks, right? We've seen them go 6.5, 6.3 all in the course of one day. And we continue to have a severe inventory shortage. So if people are a little hesitant on, is their money protected? Is their money not protected? What's the future of their bank? Who's their mortgage with? Do they need to start looking at those things? So we want to get into like some finer details on that part of it. So Ryan, you had a couple points you wanted to lead off with, right?
Yeah. So the first thing, and they're already talking about this, the feds, is that there's a lot of credit tightening, right? Which basically means that banks are tightening up on how much mortgages they provide, what they're willing to give for mortgages. So you're going to see like a lot of guidelines, I think, coming out in the next couple months, depending what direction this goes into. So the first thing you have to do is
is it could potentially become harder.
It
to
could
get
be
a mortgage.
Harder. So let's say, like, for instance, we have a loan officer. I don't want to use any names in this situation, because I don't want them to think one person is, this would be their direction. I don't want to speak on behalf of their business. But, let's say like a loan officer has a couple, companies like Loan Depot. Sometimes they look at Rocket Mortgage and all this. And maybe they go with 10 banks. They have the options. Well, now you might only have 6, right? Or sometimes maybe it's even less. Maybe it depends on what type of loan you need, FHA, VA, conventional. So that's going to start to tighten. And depending on what the rates do, right? So I'm speculating a little bit now here. But, it's just like supply and demand. When there's a guy I know who, my uncle's a butcher.
I've had some of his steaks.
Yes.
Delicious.
And I wanted to
What's the name of the shop? I know we don't have any 94 Niners in Rhode
Michael's,
Island.
Michael Meats in Cumberland.
Michael's
Check
Meats
out.
In Cumberland, Rhode Island.
So I wanted to buy a whole pig from him. And he said, Ryan, there's only one guy in the town and the state that really sells still whole pigs. So do a pig roast. And his prices are ridiculous. So what could start to happen is that, hey, banks say, well, I'm out. And if some banks stick around, who knows what they can do with their rates, right?
And we did see some banks get out of mortgages fear of this. So maybe they saw the writing on the wall.
Right. Because what starts to happen is if these banks and people lose their money, they lose their jobs, stuff that people cannot pay their mortgages, and then you have unemployment, then you have, you know, that, you know, people have been waiting for prices to come down in houses. Well, this is how it starts,
right?
So it might get a little tougher with the mortgages, and who, you know, so you have to make sure.
And again, I just really want to like harp on the fact that if home prices do decline because of what's happening in the banking world, that does not have anything to do with the supply and demand issue we've been facing for the last 2 years, right? Nope. Home prices will continue to appreciate if the banks stay stable.
If the banks stay stable, but there's so many factors, Chaz, that, you know, when and you'll never hear the feds admit it, but when they raise rates, ultimately they're trying to create more unemployment.
Right.
Right. So if you have more unemployment, people can't afford, it's tough, you know, with prices going up, it's tough to get a mortgage. But if you lose your job, you're out of the game automatically. Or if you just bought a house and you lose your job, now you're thinking about you're having to sell. And then you have more supply come on, and that meets that demand, and that's how it starts to change. So these banks, yes, they can have an effect, right? Like they might not give out mortgages, people might lose their jobs, a lot can start to change. There's so many factors, right? But what I can tell you, what I foresee is things stay the way that banks and loan officers are going to get very tight on who they're going to give the mortgage to. That's number one. Number two, if you're thinking about buying and you're hearing my voice and now all of a sudden you're kind of curled up in a corner, sweating a little bit in a fetal position, crying, why? I'll tell you the good news is that, and we can probably put this chart up somewhere, Byron sent it over to us this morning, is that if you buy a house and the average person stays in a home 11 years, which is a lot lower than what I thought it was, because I don't know too many people.
Well, that's come down. It used to be 15 to 17 years, and now we're down to 11. And in some markets, it's under 10. It's like 7 to 8 years.
So let's say, for instance, you buy a house at, you know, $500,000, okay, and you buy it today, and something happens where the market drops the house value by 10% because of everything that's going on, right? So now you're down. Now the house value is $450,000. In 10 years, the way that the history shows, if you stick around for 10 years, that house is going to be above what you bought it for. Look at 07, 08, right? House prices came crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a whole different ballgame because we're talking about mortgages then. There's nothing really involved with mortgages now as far as bad investments. But yeah, I always think of Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. He always says, stocks only go up.
Right? Stocks only go up.
They only go up, right?
They only go up.
It's the same thing, though. There's never been a time in our history where values of houses don't go up. And they'll go down, but it's not like after 10 years, it's not like they continue to go down and down and down and down. So if you're buying a house, right, like my wife and I just bought a house, if all of a sudden the market goes down, sideways, whatever, I don't care. It's like a stock.
Your 20-year house, though.
I bought my 20-year house. Yeah. Yes, I don't care. So that's how you have to approach it. If you're thinking about buying and you're only there for about 5-7 years, you better have an agent who's explaining to you, you know, how.
So you need
think
of it in a few different components, right? If you're a first time home buyer who maybe just got married and you're looking to buy your first house together, first condo, something like that, knowing that in 3 or 4 years you might be starting a family, maybe now isn't the best time to buy.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yep.
But maybe you're that same couple, but you've lived in a condo or in a smaller house for 3 or 4 years and you're starting to build a family out now. And now, okay, we need to expand the size of our house to accommodate the size of our family.
Right. Yeah.
That is a smart person to buy right now because they are buying for the long term, not for the short term, right?
And that's the thing. So that's your key. It's you have to look at this like you're buying it for the long term. And then as far as buyers go, you know, well, if the prices do come down, and I don't think they're going to come crashing down like this is the end of the world, like houses go from $500,000 to $100,000. That will never happen. But
you may see like a 4 to 6% decline.
Which is fine because you're still going to be higher than what you were before COVID.
True. In 2021, we saw a 20% increase in home prices.
So I think everyone's just going to be A-OK. Yeah. It is going to be there could be other people on the end that have to sell, you know, and that's a little bit of a sad and different story. But buyers, you know, I tell people all the time, like, well, should we wait to buy?
Is it a different story, though? Because like we just said, your house, let's say you bought in 2015.
It's a different story if they become unemployed.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's a different story depending on your circumstances.
Right.
You know, and how long you've been in that house for. But if you're a seller and you're looking at this and you're like, boy, I've been thinking about selling.
Right. I've owned this house for 15, 20 years. Like, I know that in the last 3 years, I've gained, let's say, 30% over the course of 3 years. So if I do see a 4% dip, I'm still up 26.
You're still up.
Right. Like now, that's just for the last 3 years. That's not counting the 12 years before that.
Right. And this is what Byron said about 2 weeks ago. He says, hey, we're kind of at the bar, and this is like the last call.
Last call.
This is your last call, right? Now, I'm not saying, put your house in the market. You know, if you're thinking about doing it, you say, well, where am I going to? And we keep saying, well, where am I going to go? Well, you know, we could start seeing more supply on the market coming soon.
Or it might not be a bad time to grab a rental if you are in that position.
Rentals are tough.
Cash out, you know, though.
Yeah, rentals are tough, sort of thing. But there's stuff going on. You know, people are like, when's this ever going to come to an end?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that having conversations, right? Working with an agent that's studying this every week, that's talking about it, that's trying to break it down from various different news sources, taking all the information and putting it together and having that realistic conversation. Because if you say to someone, Tuesday this week, I was texting with somebody who renewed their lease last year because they just couldn't, win a bet or win a bid.
Yep.
I think they were like 0 for 10. So like, we're going to renew our lease. We're coming up on it. And even still, he's like, I'm still not sure we're ready, just given the volatility of everything and watching how much prices have gone up. And I said, okay, you guys are getting married at the end of the year. Like, why don't you rent one more year, right?
Yeah.
Keep saving that nest egg, right? Keep increasing how much a home you can afford. And he was like, that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, like, you don't need to feel the pressure, right?
Yeah.
But it's a very different conversation. I have some clients that are trying to downsize from a larger house, right? They had their 20-year house, and now they need to kind of shrink down because they can't maintain the size of that house now. So our conversation is, okay, we do need to be slightly more aggressive. We do need to expand our search and really find something that fits your needs. But, you know, if we can recommend anything, hopefully it's one of the one team agents, but have yourself an agent that is educated.
Knows
what the HE double hockey sticks is happening out there in the world.
I guarantee you tell people where Deutsche Bank is, they won't even have a clue.
Janet Yellen is.
Or Janet Yellen, who I think Chaz has the hearts for. That's for a different time. That's a different conversation.
That's our take, our 2 cents on the bank situation, but we'll continue to keep you updated on that. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Your number one buying destination.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook, Ryan Casey of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate back here for segment number 2. And we are going to break down in terms that everyone can understand. We're going to pull through all of like the big words that they use just to make themselves sound important. And we are going to talk to you about what is going on from what we can see in the banking world. And in particular, the Deutsche Bank, which has been having some turmoil here the last 3-4 days. Basically through the better part of the last week since we are here on Saturday. So Ryan, what are you seeing with this? I know you've been following it pretty closely. Kind of what's the vibe out there?
Yeah, I have been, because it all started when...
With the Big Bang.
But it all started when that you would hear the feds come out, right? Powell will come out, he'll say some words, and he wouldn't be as hawkish as many people thought. So what happened every time that the feds would come up and raise the rates, the stock market would increase. And I said, that's kind of strange. You know, why is it like, you know, if you're raising rates, that's not good for banks, for investors and all that stuff. So
for us, the 949ers out there, I mean, our credit card interest rates, our mortgage interest rates are
I just had the feeling that, you
crazy.
Know, the market would just hear, hey, we're doing better with inflation. Let's buy. And then, and it's been happening like that every time they come out, right? It's good for a couple of days, and then they're like, wait a minute, they actually find maybe this thing isn't over. So then you have the feds coming out saying that the banks are safe and they're secure. All right. We are on our third week where some type of bank has failed, right? You know, you had Silicon Valley Bank with them, which was more of a liquidity problem. So I guess I want to kind of say really quick that this
is... Let's break down that liquidity problem, because we were talking about it before the show started. So just so that everyone is kind of clear on that, the liquidity problem was not that they didn't have the money. It's that they invested the money into an asset that wasn't readily accessible.
Wasn't accessible, but it was also not doing well as far as the rates. So what people do is that what banks do is when they loan a lot of money, when Silicon Valley was mostly tech startup companies, right? So it's not your typical, you know, place that you go for a bank. And the rates went up. So did the bonds that they took out. So what happens is to make sure that they have enough equity or make sure that everything is safe to place up, you take out bonds. But these bonds were bought at low rates and the rates have been increasing. So a lot of times what they do is they try to work with these bonds in order to make sure everything is status quo. However, that is a little bit of a red flag, right? And what they did was that people rushed to these banks, started pulling their money out because they thought this bank was going to collapse. Now, was it going to collapse? Was it not going to collapse? It's tough to tell. It's tough to tell when it doesn't happen. But when people start getting nervous and they pull all their money out, which is the liquidity, then the bank doesn't have any money. So that money, like you were saying, Chaz, that money wasn't readily available to them. So people were taking out, trying to get all their money out. And when the well is dry and more people haven't got all their money yet, so you're talking about millions, billions of dollars.
Well, I think that's important to note is that Silicon Valley Bank in particular wasn't just like a local Essex Savings Bank, a Liberty Bank.
Right.
This was a bank for startup companies, and we're talking Meta,
yeah,
Amazon, huge. Apple. I mean, big startup companies with quite a bit of money in them. So when they get nervous and then come calling for their money, it's much different than if you or I went to our local bank and we said, I don't know, you charged me a couple fees here that I'm not happy with. Let me, you know, pull out my money. It's
right.
A different conversation.
And just to kind of like to go over everything, you know, like keep in mind, this is not like 07, 08. 07, 06, 08. Banks invested in bad mortgages and did not know what they were getting in these tranches.
Right.
All right. This is totally different. I think what happens
is not related directly to the housing market.
Nothing directly to the housing market. You know what it has directly? It's greed. So if I'm able to, let's say I buy a new house. All right. And I know like my wife and I would just build a house a few years ago. Well, I can't go nuts and start buying, you know, on my credit card and buying new TVs and buying a new couch and buying this and buying this and this. Cause you do. You spend, you spend, you spend. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to pay that money back. And then all of a sudden things start, interest rates go up and I'm like, I'm having trouble paying this back. And I'm the, you know, imagine I'm the bank. I gotta find ways to get this money.
Yep.
But, so that's basically what happened. It was a liquidity problem. It had nothing to do with mortgages. Now you have the Fed saying everything's safe, everything's secure. But here we go again with, there was another bank last week.
Well, it's funny because, the CNBC article, I pulled this one up that Janet Yellen, it's kind of been a tale of two different conversations with her. Because
she's changing her tone.
Right, right. So that's the strong actions we have taken ensure that Americans' deposits are safe. Certainly, we would be prepared to take additional actions if warranted, said Yellen. The statement conveyed a different message than Yellen's remarks a day earlier when she told senators that the Treasury was not considering any plans to insure all U.S. bank deposits without congregational approval. So, kind of different. One day she's saying we are prepared, and the other day she's saying we have no plan of action. So in 24 hours, even her, you know,
she's
mindset
trying to,
is kind of shifting.
She's trying. I mean, with the Yellen at this point, she's just trying to please the people that she feels like she needs to please. Right. That's why she's always singing a different tune. She just kind of wants to go with the flow. She's not going to actually have a backbone to say what's going on.
But what message does that send to our 94 Niners out there, to the rest of the people in the country who are looking for some guidance?
Some guidance or right. Some security, like. Which is fine. I mean, she can say a statement and say this is it. But what's happening now with Deutsche Bank, this is 3 weeks in a row now that you have a bank that's having issues. But the biggest difference, Chaz, with this bank is that people are used credit default swaps on this bank. Right. So the other banks, it was just maybe a liquidity problem. They didn't have enough money. These are people and they're smart people. You don't pull this move. I mean, the last time people pulled this move was, in 08 when the mortgage crisis was happening. And they knew what was in these stocks, that what these banks had in these tranches, all these bundles of mortgages, was dog poop mortgages. No credit. Mm-hmm. They're not checking. Multiple homes, arms that were going to completely collapse. So when you hear credit default swaps, those are people saying, I'm going to bet against it. I did a great, I think it was a great analogy a few minutes ago when we were downstairs. Chaz is a runner, right? So if Chaz tells the whole office that he's going to run a marathon and he's going to do it at this time, and people know that Chaz is a good runner and this and that, a lot of people are not going to bet against Chaz. But if I kind of know something, if I'm looking at the numbers and I say, you know what, Chaz?
He's going to be waiting at mile 25 to trip me.
Yeah, if I know like Chaz hasn't been running as much as he has, or he hasn't been putting the work or whatever, I'm like, you know what, this is me going to bet against it. And that's called a credit default swap. I'm going to bet that this bank doesn't actually know what they're talking about, what they're doing. So that's a little bit more nerve wracking. It's one thing when you have a little blip and you don't have the money because there's something else. But it's a different story when now you have people betting against the bank.
And that's also causing a ripple effect throughout the entire banking industry, right? Because shares of major U.S. banks were under pressure, right? Citigroup and Bank of America shares fell more than 2%. JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo fell more than 1% each. So the Silicon, this is another CNBC article on the Deutsche Bank. The article goes on to say the Silicon Valley bank problem brought more attention on banks. Larry McDonald, this is a quote from Larry McDonald, founder of the Bear Traps Report, said Friday on CNBC's Squawk Box. And so banks like Credit Suisse and Deutsche Bank that have been horribly, horribly managed for decades, and we're talking about really poor management and horrible decisions, all of a sudden investors around the planet are focused on that.
Yeah. So what happened was, and you know, you got to give credit when credit's due. After we had the collapse in 08, the U.S. really kind of had a come into Jesus moment where we're like, we got to fix this. I always read that Europe was never really the exact same. It's almost like, not saying they didn't learn their lesson, but they didn't do enough, I think, to protect themselves.
Well, they kept government out of it.
They kept the government out.
Right.
Which is, you do, sometimes you want to. I always get nervous, you know, like when government gets involved too much, because there's so much now, you have so much, depending on what side you're on, you know, there's so much to sway it one way. But yeah, so now you're looking at the European markets, and you're like, okay, well, how's this affect? I'm like, well, you know, it sure does affect. It's a global market, right? We're all kind of like in this together. So when you have, and then after this whole Deutsche Bank, you know, if you love them, hate them, you have Jim Cramer coming on. I don't know if you ever see the Jim Cramer memes. They show stuff that he said like months ago, and then it's the complete opposite, right? So anytime he says it, they call it the death wish. But he said, hey, you know, he said, like, he goes, look, he said that Deutsche Bank is not like Silicon Valley. This is a strong, secure bank. Which, yeah, they're a lot bigger. It's like, you know, I get it, and they're powerful, and they have a lot more equity, but that doesn't mean much. You know what I mean? Like, if people are betting against it, you got to feel like they...
It all comes back to what we were talking about before. You can have the most money, right? Yeah. You can have the most power, but if you don't have access to it, if you're not able to use it in a functional way, it doesn't matter how big, how strong, how smart you are, so to speak, because at the end of the day, people want their money, and you don't have it available for them, so that's going to create some turmoil. I'm just a little surprised, you know, how this is kind of trickling out throughout the other banks, right? Because, again, SVB was a very specific type of bank. Yeah. They worked with a very specific type of clientele. So how, and maybe we'd have to get somebody else on the show. We can find a guest to come on and kind of talk to us about that a little bit more. But how can a bank that has such a niche market, market be the pebble that creates the avalanche?
Right. Well, because what's thought to happen is you have always fear. It's always fear, and it's a domino effect, right? Like, you have to start to see. So, for instance, if there's other investments, like, someone's got to. So, luckily, I'm knocking on wood, if you heard that, luckily, someone's able to come and save Silicon Valley Bank. Like, someone came in, bought them out. They were able to, the government bailed them out. They don't like to call it a bailout, but I mean, it was a bailout.
Right.
If this keeps happening over and over and over again, people are going to start losing their monies.
Absolutely.
So if you have money, like, in, you know, you'd be like, I don't have any money in Germany. Well, a lot of companies in the U.S. have interests, you know, sort of thing. So
there's definitely a strong ties to the European. I mean, so many of our resources come from there.
Then, you know, if banks have money and you can't trade with that bank anymore, right? You're not doing any swaps with them. It's a trickle effect. And when money's gone, and you can't get it back. And then we can get into the bank blanket insurance they want to talk about in the next segment, because that's a little bit
we'll have some fun with that blanket insurance. Yeah, but just one more quick point on this. Moody's Investor Service, they warned that the banking contagion could continue to spread. They went on to say, in uncertain economic environments and with investor confidence remaining fragile, there is a risk that policymakers will be unable to curtail the current turmoil without longer lasting and potentially severe repercussions within and beyond the banking sector. That is from Atis Sheath, Managing Director of Credit Strategy, and others said in a report. The longer that financial conditions remain tight, the greater the risk that stresses spread beyond the banking sector. That's the scary part, is that what we're seeing in the banking sector could just be that pebble that I mentioned before that will turn into the avalanche that could spiral into the entire economy, or it could even start to make its way into the real estate market.
Stallone Buick GMC Studios. WJZ.